And we welcome all of you today. We appreciate you being in the service with us. Turn with me this morning, please, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. While you're doing that, just a reminder, we have calendars at every exit and holiday pens. Please take as many as you can use. Take lots, give them to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Just enjoy. So, John chapter 12. In 1979, a man named Herbert Lockyer wrote a book entitled Their Finest Hour. Herbert Lockyer was 92 when he finished that book. He had for half a century been a Bible teacher for the Moody Corporation in Chicago. He had come from Scotland and from England and had bypassed a career in the theater in order to work for the Lord and write books. He has passed away now, but in 1979, when he finished that book entitled Their Finest Hour, he said that that was probably the pinnacle of his writing career. And though it's probably out of print now, you might be able to get it. It's an excellent book where he has taken both Old and New Testament personages and he's talked about their finest hour, that moment in their life when they that really shined out. And it's interesting that in that book, he also included a chapter on two donkeys and their finest hour. One was Balaam's donkey that spoke with a man's voice to correct the voice of the prophet. The other is the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on at the triumphal entry. And so, speaking of the finest hour, Herbert Lockyer said, I believe that this is probably the best thing that I have written, just trying to show people in the Bible, their finest hour, and that you and I can have a fine hour as well. He wrote a number of books, All the Women of the Bible, All the Men of the Bible, All the Miracles of the Bible, on and on and on. Pretty incredible man at age 92. So he started writing when he was in his 50s. So for you in your 50s, it's not too late. You can still do something wonderful if you feel so led. So it is from that book that I've taken the message title this morning, Their Finest Hour. And what I would like to do is talk about four different things on their finest hour. The first is the Old Testament prophets. If you were here last week, I spoke about the divine interruption, pardon the interruption, where the Old Testament prophets, excuse me, interrupted what they were doing to prophesy the coming Messiah, to prophesy his birth. And it was, in my opinion, their finest hour in these Old Testament prophets who would prophesy, Isaiah in particular, 800 years before the event would take place, Isaiah stepped out by faith and said, there is coming a time when a Messiah will be born. And it was proven out. They spoke with brave voices against opposition, against ridicule, and that was their finest hour. And then you jump into the New Testament and we see the people surrounding the Christmas story, Joseph and Mary, and their finest hour. When I believe they trusted in obedience a request from the Lord that seemed ridiculous, really, at the time. And yet both Joseph and Mary were willing to do that. And it became, I believe, their finest hour as they trusted and obeyed the Lord. And then, though they don't get a lot of credit this time of year, we usually see them in pageants and things, but it's the shepherds. And you think about the shepherds and their obedience and their faith. When the angelic host appeared to them, proclaiming that a Christ child had been born in Bethlehem, these shepherds, who are on the lowest of the low scale of occupations, nobody liked shepherds. They were the lowest of the low. It was one of the dirty jobs, if you will. And yet, to these shepherds, the angels appeared, and it was their finest hour when they listened to the voice of God and made their way to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. And then fourthly, the wise men. We know about the wise men. We don't know a lot about them, but we do know that the wise men, though they came about 2 years after the birth of Jesus, I know in the Christmas crèche scenes we see them at the manger, but historically they probably came 2 years after that, but they made the sacrificial journey of traveling so far over mountains and deserts, following a star, and they were ridiculed by their peers, and yet when they arrived, they found Jesus and then sacrificially gave the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And so this was these individuals' finest hour, if you will. It was the hour of believing God and trusting in His plan. Now we call it Christmas, but they knew it as the hour to believe God for the impossible. The prophets believed in something that was impossible. How brave it was for a prophet to proclaim that a virgin would be born, or a virgin would give birth to a child. And it was a moment of believing the impossible. Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, etc. To believe in the miracle of a baby named Jesus. And their reward for their finest hour was simply knowing they did the right thing. There were no accolades beyond that other than Christmas time. We recognize them. But knowing they did the right thing was their reward for their finest hour. And that they had played a part in the divine coming of Jesus Christ. And these willing participants in the Christmas story, what we call the Christmas story, I'm saying is really their finest hour. And so I want to talk about that for a few moments. I want to go back and talk about the prophets a little more and Mary and Joseph, the shepherd and the wise men, and explain to you that I believe that their finest hour was because Jesus was at the center of their finest hour. He was at the center of it. In the 1995 film Apollo 13, where our Apollo astronauts nearly lost their lives, in the film starring Tom Hanks as astronaut Jim Lovell, there is a scene in that movie where it looks like they're going to lose those astronauts. If you've seen the film, you know this scene that I'm going to tell you about. Ed Harris played the role of flight director Gene Kranz, and they're desperately trying to get these three astronauts home. Apollo 13 was officially classified as a successful failure. A failure because they did not reach the moon, but a failure, but a success because they got those men back safely. And so in the scene, Gene Kranz is listening to two NASA officials, and they're talking about the tragedy that's going to happen if they lose those men. And they've made the comment, this could be the biggest tragedy in NASA's history if we lose those men. Gene Kranz, played by Ed Harris, turns around and says to them, I beg your pardon. He says, I believe this will be our finest hour. We are not going to lose those men. And with that determination, they brought them home. And I believe that we could say the same of the prophets of old, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men. I believe this was their finest hour because they were determined to follow God's leading and do what God had called them to do. Now, when we talk about the prophets of old, I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about a prophet speaking the things of God, talking about the things of God and prophesying into the future. In 800 years before the event would happen, Isaiah would say, among other prophets in other of the New Testament or the Old Testament books, would say that a Messiah is coming. Now, the Old Testament prophets didn't know his name. They said he would be Emmanuel, which is God with us. He would be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. They knew that. They didn't know his name, Jesus, was going to be Jesus, but Jesus was at the center of their finest hour. These prophets risked the ridicule of their peers. They risked, actually, many of them stoning and being imprisoned because they spoke the word of the Lord, but they bravely prophesied the fact that God would send a Messiah. And in my opinion, it was their finest hour because they were not afraid to stand up for the truth. How many know that's a fine hour? Amen? When they were willing to prophesy 800 years into the future. Now, I believe in the work of the prophet today. I don't believe it ended as some do. I believe the work of the prophet continues today. But can you imagine what ridicule a prophet today would get if they said 800 years from now, this particular thing is going to happen? Well, they'd be laughed to scorn because they're going to be dead by the time it comes. So they've got nothing to lose. So they'd be ridiculed a little bit. They would be chastised a little bit. You shouldn't be doing that. But the Old Testament prophets didn't care who liked them or who didn't like them. They were determined. God had spoken to them and they proclaimed the truth loudly and clearly that God was going to send a Messiah, and that was their finest hour because they didn't care who laughed at them, who believed them. They believed it and they proclaimed it. Thank God for the Old Testament prophets. Amen. Who were not afraid to proclaim the fact that God was going to send Messiah. And then you think of Mary and Joseph and their finest hour. And to me, their finest hour certainly was the time when they said yes to the Lord. Think of Joseph or Mary. Think of Mary for a moment. Here is a young lady, and she is a virgin. She's not had sexual intimacy with a man. And an angel appears to her. She's espoused or engaged to a man named Joseph. Remember this now. The espousal process was that they were technically legally married for a year, but they could not have sexual intimacy. And so for a year, they were legally married. And if anything changed in that relationship, they would actually have to get a divorce. And so here is Mary, and an angel shows up and says, highly favored among women. God, you're blessed among women. And I'm here to say that God has chosen you to bear the Son of God. You will be pregnant with the Son of God. And Mary's response was, how can this be, seeing that I have not known a man? And that expression in the Bible always means sexual intimacy. I've not had sexual intimacy with a man. How can I be with a child? And then the angel says to her that the Holy Spirit, that which is conceived in you, will be of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and impregnate you, and you will bear the Son of God. You will be the fulfillment of the prophecy. What if Mary had have said, no, thank you? What if Mary would have said, thanks for the compliment, but I don't think so. Because you see, what's going to happen is that I'm espoused to Joseph, and we're not to have any intimacy for a year. And if I'm going to get pregnant, I'm going to start showing, and I'm going to have to explain what happened. And can you imagine Mary's parents? Can you imagine Mary's parents? They're never listed in the Bible, but can you imagine when Mary comes and says, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant. And an angel did it. Would you believe her? Would you believe her? Think of the struggle Mary and Joseph's mom and dad, or Mary's mom and dad must have had. All right? What if Mary had have said no? What if she would have said, no, I don't want to go through the shame, the ridicule, the explaining. And what am I going to tell Joseph? Hey, Joseph, by the way, I'm pregnant. And an angel did it. That's not going to be hard. I mean, that's going to be difficult for Joseph. But what if Mary had have said no? Well, I'll tell you, had Mary said no, they would have found another virgin who would have said yes, because God's plan was coming through. Amen? But she said yes. How many are glad she said yes? Praise God. And when she said yes, it was her finest hour when she said, be it unto me even as you have said. And then she expressed her gratitude to God in what we call the Magnificat when she said, the Lord has come and visited the lowly and lifted them out of the dung heap. He has lifted up the lowly because he has honored his maidservant. And so Mary's finest hour and Joseph's finest hour, he struggled with this. You see, he found that Mary was pregnant, and he wondered. The Bible says that he thought about putting her away. That was the Bible expression of giving her a bill of divorcement. He thought about that, and then he went to sleep struggling with this whole idea of that Mary is pregnant, and she says that an angel did it, and it's the Son of God. But in that vision, in that dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, fear not. As he had said to Mary, fear not. As he would say to the shepherds, fear not. Said Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to your wife, because that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit, and he is the Son of God. What if Joseph would have said no? What if he would have said, I don't want any part of this. I don't want the humiliation. I don't want to have to do the explaining. I don't want to have to take the stares and the glances when we walk down the street and we're still in the espousal period. What if he would have said no? But he didn't. And that's because the Holy Spirit helped Joseph have a fine hour of believing the Lord. It was his finest hour. We don't hear much about Joseph after that. We hear about Joseph at Jesus when he's 12 at the temple, and we hear nothing more of Joseph after that. We hear a little about Mary after that. She raises Jesus, she's at the crucifixion, and then we hear very little about Mary beyond that. But I want to tell you, Joseph's finest hour was when he said yes to God in a very difficult situation. And what about the shepherds? And we think of the shepherds, we see this little shepherds around, you know, and they're usually they're little children and they're cute and they got these little outfits on. But really, shepherds in this day, in the Bible day, they were the lowest of the low when it came to occupations. They were disrespected. They felt culturally they really had no rights at all. I understand they had no property rights. They had no voice. They were just considered very, very low on the scale. Remember that program, was it Mike Rowe who did Dirty Jobs? Was that Dirty Jobs? And anyway, he would go to these different places and do these dirty jobs. Well, that was the shepherd. They had a dirty job and no one else wanted to do it. But it was to the shepherds that the angelic host appeared. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Go now. And the shepherds said, let's go see this great sight. And they just headed that way in obedience. I believe it was the shepherds' finest hour when they believed what the angels said. Praise God. Finally, the angels had encouraged us. Maybe the angels appeared to the shepherds because the shepherds represented the lowest of the low. Maybe they represented that class of people that nobody ever cared about. Nobody was ever concerned about. Maybe, just maybe, God was saying if he could love a shepherd enough to appear to them on what we know as Christmas night, that God can love anybody. Amen? God can love anybody. It was their finest hour. And then the wise men. Think of the wise men. It would be 2 years before they would see the Christ child. They would appear at his home, the Bible says, and they would bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I believe it was the wise men's finest hour when they made this decision to make the journey. Who were the wise men? Wise men were, we call them magi. They were men who studied the stars. They were men who studied the Old Testament scriptures. They were men who studied prophecies. So they began to put two and two together. They began to study the Isaiah prophecies and the other prophecies of the Old Testament. They began to see the heavens, and they saw that there were some planets that were getting ready to align. There was a strange star, perhaps they saw. And they said to each other, we need to follow that star. We need to go where it's leading because this is a king that is being born. They set out on a journey over mountains and desert. They took of their substance and they headed that way, not knowing where they would go. They didn't know where to go. They ended up in Herod's palace and said, we've heard a king is going to be born. Herod, which was a horrible king and had really his darkest hour when he ordered the death of all those innocent two-year-olds. They went to Herod and said, where are we to go to see this king? And they said, well, the prophecy says Bethlehem. So they went there. And when the shepherds or the wise men got to the two-year-old Jesus, they bowed and they worshiped him and they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Very valuable, valuable, valuable stuff that would eventually help Mary and Joseph as they fled to Egypt so that they could live there safely. It was the wise men's finest hour when they made the decision, we're going to take this journey. And when they got there, they sacrificed everything that they had for the Son of God. Jesus was at the center of all of their finest hour. Now, Jesus' finest hour was coming. Look at the passage I had you turn to. John chapter 12, verse 27. In verse 27 of John 12, Jesus says these words, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Some people said, "What was that thunder that we just heard?" They couldn't distinguish the voice. And others said, "No, it's words, but it's an angel. We're hearing an angel." Neither one was correct. It was the voice of God. And then Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but because of you and for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." That's the devil. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And then John adds the commentary, "This he said, signifying by what death he would die." So you connect verse 27 with verse 33, and we know that what Jesus said, "I've come to this hour, this is my hour." What was it? It was the hour when he was going to die on the cross. And to me this morning, Jesus' finest hour was not his birth, though that was necessary. It wasn't even the resurrection, because even though the resurrection is critical to the New Testament church, Jesus' finest hour was when he hung on that cross and he died for our sins so that we would no longer have to carry the burdens of unforgiven sins on our shoulders, so we would no longer have to bring little lambs and slit their throats for the blood to pour. Jesus' finest hour was when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was on the cross. He said, "For this hour I have come." This hour of dying on the cross. The very reason he came. The cross was Jesus' finest hour. Praise God. Now I'm glad he was born, because if he wasn't born, he couldn't have died. And I'm glad he resurrected from the dead, because he's alive today. But the pinnacle of what Jesus did for us was dying on the cross. Especially when you think about the fact that he took our sins on him. Because the Bible says that all have sinned. All of us. Look at your neighbor and says, "You're part of the all. You're part of the all." Every one of us have sinned. I'm part of the all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the punishment for our sin is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sins. You're sitting beside somebody who deserves to die for their sin. I deserve to die for my sin. But Jesus said, "This is my," in my words, "my finest hour. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die for Ed Statton. I'm going to die on the cross so he doesn't have to. I'm going to take his sins on my shoulders. I'm going to ask God to forgive him. I'm going to take all the punishment, all the pain, all the shame, all the humiliation. It will be my finest hour that I will give my life for the world, that they can know what it is to be forgiven." It was the finest hour when Jesus died on the cross for us. Are you grateful for it today? Give him a thanks. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And I hope that you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. I hope that you've invited him into your life and said, "Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins." It doesn't come automatically. We have to make a decision to accept Christ as our Savior, right? Right. We have to make a decision. It doesn't automatically come. You say, "Well, my mom and dad go to church regularly. That makes me a Christian." No, it doesn't. Just because you go in your garage doesn't make you a Chevy. Amen? Or a Ford, or whatever you're into. All right? Just because we come into church doesn't make us a Christian. We have to make a decision to accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. Praise God. And what a wonderful decision it is when we say yes to the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And there's no condemnation in that. No condemnation at all. Jesus' finest hour was when he hung on the cross. And everything the prophets, Mary and Joseph and the shepherd and the wise men, their finest hours really were pointing to that time when Jesus would die on the cross. Finally, what is our finest hour? What is your finest hour? Have you had a finest hour at this moment? Maybe accepting Christ as your Savior, we could call that our finest hour. And maybe we have a number of times we could say is our finest hour. I tell you what I don't have a trouble with at all is figuring out what my not so fine hours were. How many's had a few of those, right? I was thinking about this morning. I thought to myself, what's been some of my not famous fine hours? And I thought of this, I don't know why, but I'll share it with you. When I was a little guy, I lived a couple years in Feather Falls, California, up the Feather River from Oroville before the Oroville Dam, if you're familiar with that area. And I remember dared, thank you. They dared me to jump off this bridge into the cold waters of, and you that know me know I don't like cold water. You know, it's like, ah! You know, I wouldn't even jump in a cold pool with my kids. I did it with my grandkids a couple times and turned blue. But you'll do for your grandkids what you won't do for your kids, right? I remember in Grangeville, Idaho once, I jumped into their heated pool with my grandkids. I don't know what their definition of heated is. But it was like ice chunks. And then another lady was in there with her grandkids, and she's over there like this, and I'm like that. And I looked at her, she looked at me, Cheryl walked in, and I said, ain't no grandkid worth this. You get it? No. But anyway, I digress. So I'm on this bridge, and they dared me to jump in. And I thought, I can do this. And I looked down and went, whoa. And so I made the mistake of sitting down. This bridge was made of creosote-treated, rough-sawn timbers. And so they said, do it. Okay. So I slid off, and as I slid off, a piece of that, it wasn't a sliver, it was a log this big. No, it just right in my gluteus maximus. I mean, I was screaming on the way down. They thought I was having a good time. It was hurting. I hit the water, and I don't know the temperature of the water. All I knew is I had lots of pain. It was not my finest hour. But what was worst was when I had to have somebody take it out. So we've all got some not so fine hours, right? But what is our finest hour? In the example of the prophets and Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, perhaps our finest hour could be when we lift our voices to speak the truth. When we lift our voices and proudly share with anyone who asks that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we are a Christian, and that we follow Jesus. And there's some things that we will not do because the Bible says we shouldn't do them. We're going to live for what the Bible says, and we'll loudly proclaim that truth. Like the prophets of old, irregardless of who likes it or not, we have a fine hour when we speak the truth for God. Amen? When we speak the truth and we declare what God has put in our hearts to say in an appropriate way. That can be a very fine hour for anyone who is put to the test, for anyone who's asked to share the hope that is within you, to speak up for those who are innocent, to speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves, to speak the truth of God's word when everybody else around us is living like you know, whatever standards they've set for themselves, non-biblical standards, to be able to speak the truth, especially young people today. What a brave thing it is, what a fine hour it is for any young person, young adult today, to stand for God's truth and not be afraid, not in an offensive way, but in a way that declares, I'm living for Jesus Christ and I'm living His life according to His standards. How many know that's a fine hour? Amen? That's a fine hour. Maybe our finest hour comes when we say yes to God's plan for our lives, whatever that plan is. When we say yes to God's plan for our lives, and that plan may, like Mary and Joseph, that plan may require us to make some sacrifices. That plan may be that we might have to step out in faith and go somewhere maybe that we hadn't planned to go, as they had not planned to go to Egypt. And yet that's where God sent them. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament prophet said, my son, speaking of Jesus, would come out of Egypt. And in order that to be fulfilled, Mary and Joseph had to take Jesus into Egypt. And so maybe your finest hour is when you say yes to God's plan for your life. When you say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do with my life and the life of my family, we'll do it. It may mean we have to go into Egypt for a while. It may mean we have to step out in faith for a while. It may mean that we may have to go where we've never gone before. But Lord, we will do that. And that could be your finest hour when you say yes to God's plan for your life. Praise the Lord. Or maybe your finest hour will be when you trust God in a difficult time. When it's very, very difficult to trust God. All the circumstances around you are negative. Everything that's inside of you screams out, don't do this. You're going to fail. God's not going to come through. When every lie of the enemy says that God's going to drop you, He's going to fail you. But when you trust God in that difficult situation, that can be your finest hour. Hallelujah. Where you say, I trust you, Lord, no matter what. I'm going to trust you in the most difficult of times. Or maybe your finest hour will be when you sacrifice everything to obey God. And you may have to do that. When you sacrifice everything like the wise men and you say, I'm going to make that journey with Jesus. I'm going to follow that star, if you will. Wherever that star leads me, I'm going to follow that star. I'm going to follow the leading of the Lord. I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. And if I have to, I'll sacrifice everything in order to follow His will. I remember when my pastors, when I was a teenager, said yes to go to Africa as missionaries, where they spent over, I think, 20 years as missionaries to Kenya. They had to consolidate everything they had owned, everything that they had in their home. They could only take so much. And I remember they had to look at things and say, keep it or sell it. And they had to condense it down. And finally, they condensed it all down to just like a truckload. And then we were going to, I went with them to Oakland, California, where it would be put on crates. And then those crates would go by boat to Kenya and they would fly. And I remember when we got there, he looked at me and he says, Ed, this is everything we own. We have nothing else. It's what's in these crates right here. This is everything we own. But this is what God has told us to do. And we're going to obey Him. So they loaded the crates on. And they got to Africa before the crates did. But when the crates got there, half the stuff was gone because of the dock workers who took what they wanted and the behind-the-scenes tax collectors took what they wanted. They ended up with very little, but that's okay because this is what God wanted us to do. And while they were there, they saw many, many people won to Jesus through their ministry. Praise God. We sacrifice everything to obey God. I believe it was one of their finest hours for that pastor of mine. The conclusion, I want to read to you Isaiah 53, verse 1. Now, if John 12, you read on, John quotes this verse. But I want to go back to where it was originally stated. Isaiah 53. As many of you know, Isaiah 53 is the most concise description of crucifixion that we have in the Bible, equaled maybe by the 22nd Psalm. Isaiah 53 was written 800 years before crucifixion took place, before Jesus was crucified, and before crucifixion was ever invented. Ever invented. Isaiah prophesied what Jesus would go through as crucifixion. The voice of the prophet. And in verse 1 he says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That's an expression that means the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord, his strong arm. God showed his strong arm to the prophets and gave them the ability to speak the truth of God. God showed his arm strong to Mary and Joseph and gave them the courage and the strength they needed to make it in carrying the Son of God. God showed his strong arm to the shepherds and encouraged them to go see the Christ child. And he showed his arm strong to the wise men who took that long, arduous journey to find the child Jesus and give him of their gold and frankincense and myrrh. The arm of the Lord. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Another way that we do of saying that same phrase, I used to do this to Eddie and Sharina when they were little. I would go, say, "Feel that thing." I'd say, "What are the guns? Is that what they still call them?" I'd say, "Look at those guns." And boy, Eddie and Sharina would go, "Oh, whoa." They were impressed. Now I do that, and my grandkids go, "Ooh, ooh." And I said, "That's right, kids. When they're up here, they're young. Down here, they're old and experienced and tough." And Jacob and Logan go, "Ooh, Grandpa, that's great. Yes. The strong arm of Papa. The strong arm of Papa. Who has the Lord revealed his strong arm to?" He revealed it to the prophets, to Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, and he'll reveal his strong arm to you. When you decide to follow the Lord's will, when you decide to sacrificially give everything to obey the voice of God, when you decide to speak the truth, God will reveal his arm strong to you, and he'll help you do what he's called you to do. When you accept Christ as your Savior, he will show his arm strong on your behalf and give you the strength you need to live for Jesus Christ in the world that we need today. I'll tell you, the Lord has revealed his arm strong on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads this morning? I want to take a moment and I want to ask this question. Are you facing a not so fine hour right now? Are you facing a very difficult situation? Is there something big? Maybe it's even a Goliath in your way. And you'd like this to be a fine hour, but you're not sure if this will turn out to be your finest hour. Because maybe you feel a little intimidated by the enemy. You feel a little lost as to what to do. I'm thinking this morning that we can pray for you and ask God to help you in this hour that you're standing right now. Maybe it's a decision you have to make. Maybe it's a financial thing you're dealing with. Maybe it's a physical problem in your body that you're dealing with. Maybe it's a family issue. I'm not going to ask any questions. But if God doesn't come through, instead of your finest hour, this could be an hour you don't want to remember. But I believe God is here to help us. He's here to give us the strength that we need. He's here to show his arm strong on your behalf. And here's what I'd like you to do. If you're here today and you're facing a not so pleasant experience, or even if you're wrestling with a decision you're making for the Lord, maybe God is dealing with you about something. and you just need God's help. I want you to just get out of your seat. People's heads are bowed. They're praying right now. I just want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come and stand right here. Stand right up front. No one's going to think less of you because you came to an altar, but I want you to come and stand up front. This could be your finest hour. This could be your finest hour. This could be your finest hour if we give God the chance to show Himself strong on our behalf. To show Himself strong on our behalf. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else want to give you this opportunity? Okay, I need some people to help me pray. So staff, I want you down if you would. And anybody else that the Lord puts on your heart to pray for people, I want you to come and stand with someone today. As a matter of fact, let's all stand, and because we're all going to pray. But I need some folks down here that'll come and stand with some people that'll help us pray for people. Just put your arms on them. Put your hands on them. Now it's still a little bit early. It's not too late. But if while we're praying, your time schedule, you need to slip out, it would not be rude to do that. We understand. But we would, if you can, we want you to stay and pray with us. Praise God. Praise God. This could be your finest hour. It could be your hardest test, but it could be your finest hour. And we need the arm of the Lord to show Himself strong on your behalf. The arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord. Praise God.